essentially obscurity arises, if you want to pair it right back to the core, because we have a belief in ourselves as an independent autonomous entity. That is what all obscurity flows from. If that was removed and we really did rest in a belief of an as of self rather than a self, things would be a lot clearer. So we have work to do. So we are in a natural, which is disorganized and has been built up through the loves of self in the world and is filled with ideas of person, place, space, and time. So all of that we take as real. So we believe the appearances to be the reality when in fact doctrine teaches that that is not the case. And we know that, but the trouble is we struggle to live from that belief. So what happens? Well, we have to be elevated out of person, place, time, and space. And that is why we're given the text. It's to elevate us out. Now, at a low level, that elevation is the work of what's termed the spirits from Mercury. So they work in the grand man as a function of the mind. They operate to perform a specific function, which is to remove person, place, time, and space, or what is Egypt, from truths that are serviceable for spiritual life represented by the sons of Israel. So that is why we have this teaching regarding the spirits of Mercury linked in with the extraction of the sons of Israel from Egypt, because that's exactly what's going on. And so we get a different take on the same process through what's described as the spirits of Mercury and their qualities. So they are mental functions by which what is of a spiritual quality, or what can serve what is spiritual, can be extracted from the letter of the word. So what has to happen in order for us to get there, you know, to get to this extraction process, is that you have Moses as immediate influx meeting with Aaron, which is mediate influx. So what is inflowing from the Lord has to meet with the doctrine that we have taken in by an external way, and it has to come into conjunction in order for the presence of the Lord to be known before you can enter into the natural, which is Egypt, and have all that is in that realm of memory knowledge that is of the word extracted in a way that can serve the spiritual life. And yeah, it's obscure, right? I mean, it's really obscure because we are moving down into a realm where, you know, the Lord is not, because we claim that we are, I am, whereas the revelation is that the Lord is I am and we are nothing. And that's a very difficult thing to accept when we've built our whole life on the idea that we are something. And so this idea of humility starts to break in when we begin to actually believe what truths state concerning ourself is true. This is a very difficult and shaky deconstruction of our reality that's taking place here. And it's going to get pretty heavy with the revelation of the plagues that are coming and the disarming or depowering of the magician aspect of Egypt, which is to spin appearances as reality. And Moses and Aaron come in to disrupt that and show that appearances are just appearances and that the Lord is the only reality. So obscurity is not a bad thing. If there's affection for truth interested, the obscurity can feed the desire to drive in further and just see what's there, what's of a higher quality. That's what can drive us forward in the sense of raising the level of curiosity that we might have. And it's important to remember these things because it can be frustrating, and then frustration can demotivate. So if we recognize that obscurity is part of drawing us inward, then we can sit with the obscurity and just be in an acceptance. Like, there's obscurity here, but what's needed is that obscurity for whatever reason, because the Lord is the one who's over the process. So obscurity is a revelation that something is working, that light is coming. It might be twilight, but it's still promise of the day, you know, the day star rising. Like, the whole thing is geared toward elevating our mind. Now, at this level of life, we will always be fluctuating between appearances as reality and seeing them as appearances. But that whole process is one of reorganizing the natural mind, putting in structures, belief systems, all of that from the word, in order that what is of a higher quality can be present in the lower. That's the work of this level of life. And I think part of it is just coming to accept that that's what the work is. It's not about attaining our idea of what heaven might be. It's about doing what the word asks of us, and the rest will take care of itself. The other thing that was very telling in this particular reading was, while the spirits of Mercury may despise the things of person, place, time, and space, the things of a more corporeal and sensual nature, it was an angel from our earth that instructed them. So to me, this illustrates how there's a stage in spiritual life and working with the text where those more interior things are much more exciting than the surface, the letter, right? And yeah, that's how it should be. But the letter can never be discarded, because it's what holds it all. And this activity of this angel reminded me of this, that there has to be a drawing back to the letter, because the letter actually is the thing that gives us access to more interior things. So it can't be discounted like the spirits of Mercury want to do, or that more active affection that's looking for things on a more interior state-based level. You still need the two things to be together so that they are held in their proper order. So the spirits of Mercury and their negative characteristics all has to do with the tendency to get excited about what is more interior, but not move on with it. So there are other structures, mental structures, that are required in order for the process to move forward, and they are represented by different earths. So Mercurian activity, function, is absolutely essential to the process, but there are things about it that we need to be aware of, that if we get stuck at that level, nothing can advance. So we're made aware of that, so that we continue to look to the Lord, look to the Word, work with what the Word offers, not with any agenda we have, any self-conceived agenda as to what's required concerning my spiritual life. That's not going to work. What's only going to work is to be sensitive to what's reaching out to you from the text, and to allow that to lead you forward. And that is the only safeguard in spiritual work. It's the willingness to be led by the Lord as the Word.